Okay, this is our final hour with Joanne DiMaggio as we talk about her work, Your Soul Remembers. Chime in. What do you think of reincarnation? We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Joanne DiMaggio with us, of course. Joanne, have you found that over the years, because you've been doing this for a number of years, is it changing at all, past life studies, or has it all been about the same?
Oh, it's been pretty much the same. I think that that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is because I was looking for a different way of pursuing past life information. And I had been doing a form of soul writing since I was a child, and it was a passion of mine along with the past life, so I combined the two. I am seeing a little bit of a difference on the clients that are coming in, and that I'm having many more people with physical conditions asking for regressions. I had, as I mentioned, a woman with the psoriasis, but I've also had heart patients and people with I had a Parkinson's case recently, people looking for answers as to why they're dealing with these illnesses now, and I never had that before, so this is relatively new to me.
Do people manifest their illnesses in this current life, or is it the past life that just forces it to happen?
I believe that it's emanating from the previous lifetime with a lesson attached to it, so it's coming through as a reminder, or it could be karmic in that they're paying for something or resolving something that happened in a previous lifetime. So there is a very strong connection between physical karma and a previous lifetime.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Dorothy is in Anchorage, Alaska, first-time caller. Hi, Dorothy. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we sure can.
We're quite a ways away from each other. George, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I wanted to call. I am a psychic and a transpersonal hypnotherapist, and I really appreciate you having Joanne on there tonight. Everything she said, I totally agree with. I'm honored to hear her. She's answered a lot of questions that I needed answered. I've just been listening intently. I wish I could have recorded this call. What I want to know, if possible, Joanne, if you could answer this, if you've worked with anyone who has come to you, because I didn't hear the first part of the show, that has come to you and told you they felt they've been abducted. And then also, I was wondering if you have worked with anyone that you might, okay, this post-traumatic stress syndrome that many of the military and even people who have suffered traumatic events in their life to themselves, or even I feel that some people are experiencing that who have seen their family members go through it. And they're receiving it. You know, they're dealing with it. And then also, I was wondering about the real traumatic illnesses that we've been seeing in the last 20 years, like HIV, hepatitis A, B, and C. Have you worked with anyone like you? I just heard you say about the Parkinson's, but you didn't go into that too much. And then about the psoriasis, I think that was absolutely right on target. You really zeroed in on that and with that regression. And I did, when I first started doing this hypnotherapy, I had received several phone calls from people who felt that they had been abducted, and I wasn't sure how to go about that, as we hadn't covered that too much, and I was trained by Alan Chips out at the ARE in Virginia Beach.
So I knew Alan well, yes.
Yes, bless his heart, and B Chips. And but if you ever come to Alaska, I would really like for you to get up here. I'm going to go to your website and see if I can't do something about getting you up here. There's a lot of people that are interested in everything that you've had to say. And George, God bless you for everything that you do. I'm so grateful to you. I really am. I pray for you and for all your staff. And if you could answer any of those, I would really appreciate it, because I know there's a lot of people now that are experiencing these great, great, terrible, terrible diseases. And I was thinking even Alzheimer's. As a psychic, I've been getting the feeling that there might be some way that we could work to have in a regression, you know, to have them heal themselves. Like some people are put under, and if they've got cancer, and you have to visualize that it's being dissolved or eaten up, you know, and I just wonder, can you address any of those? Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Let's start with the diseases. How does that work, Joanne?
I think that we're almost talking about two different things here, because the regression part of it would be to see if the disease manifested in this life as a result of something that happened in a previous lifetime, something that they may have set up. You know, I don't off the top of my head have any examples, certainly not any of the nature of the diseases that she mentioned, as far as like HIV or Alzheimer's or any kind of post-traumatic stress. That hasn't come up yet, and I say yet because I'm seeing a trend now toward this area. As far as tying it into a previous lifetime, a lot of these folks are dealing with it, and dealing with the healing as a separate issue, not necessarily through regression. But that isn't to say that it isn't rooted in a previous lifetime. I just haven't had the experience of dealing with these folks.
And, you know, with these abduction cases that seem to be prevalent everywhere, there are some people who will, you know, take them back with hypnotherapy. I don't think you do that, do you?
No, I don't. That, again, that's not a past life issue. That's a current present life issue.
Right.
And although there could be people, you know, if we've been visited for hundreds or thousands of years, they could technically, you know, come to me with that issue, but
sure.
It's never happened.
Let's go to Chris in Los Angeles. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
I was Catholic, too, and I got into spirituality, and I picked up that I'm 9 different people reincarnated. I picked up that I'm Noah, then Alexander the Great, then Robin Hood, then Braveheart, then Leonardo da Vinci, then Shakespeare, then George Washington, then Joseph Smith, who translated the Book of Mormon. And then I picked up that I was Gandhi, and in this incarnation, I was anointed Christ by Jesus Christ in 1997, all self-realized samadhi, probably next year. And I wrote a book that just came out called I Am Here, I Am Now, and I tell all the people that I picked up in past incarnations. I picked up that... Tim Burton, the filmmaker, is Edgar Allan Poe. I picked up that Brad Pitt is James Dean. I picked up that Anna Nicole Smith is Marilyn Monroe. I picked up that the singer Adele is Mama Cass. I picked up that Mozart reincarnated and was Buddy Holly. I picked up that Beethoven reincarnated and was Richie Valens, who they made a movie about called La Bamba. Yep. And they made a communication, an agreement to crash on the same airplane, and they both reincarnated. And one was Kurt Cobain, the singer for Nirvana. That was Buddy Holly. And the other one reincarnated, the singer for the Seattle grunge band Alice in Chains. I picked up that Oprah Winfrey is Harriet Tubman. I picked up that JFK was Abraham Lincoln, in fact, like you talked about last night. I picked up that Bobby Kennedy was John Adams. I picked up that Hayden Panettiere, the actress, is Natalie Wood. I picked up that Martin Luther King was Frederick Douglass. Bill Clinton was William Jefferson Clinton. I picked up that John Peter was Little John to me when I was Robin Hood. I picked up...
Well, John Teeter, of course, being the time traveler. Well, you picked up a lot of different past lives there, Chris. Be interested in reading your book. But how can an individual, Joanne, be so many prominent people like he claims he was?
Well, I don't negate anybody's experience or anybody's beliefs. But that's a very tricky area to get into. I don't actually believe in having somebody else tell you who you had been or making that determination about who you had been in a previous lifetime. That's a very personal journey, and everyone needs to just kind of go through that themselves. So I don't put a lot of faith in being spoon-fed information in terms of, oh, I believe you were so-and-so. I had a woman come to me who said she was Patrick Henry, and when I asked her why she thought that, she said that, oh, because he was a great speaker, and so am I. And that was pretty much the
like a hunch.
Right. So there's a lot of really difficult, hard work that goes into this. And there are multiples. There are many Napoleons and a lot of Marie Antoinettes. We have here in where I live, there are multiple Thomas Jeffersons floating around. You know, are they all those people? You know, that would be something to explore. You very seldom are somebody run into anybody that had a famous past life, much less multiple famous past lives. That's usually way too much for the soul to handle in any given incarnation. So that just has not been my experience. Casey, like I said, did many, many life readings, and he did a reading on a baby boy who was 3 days old and said he was the reincarnation of Thomas Jefferson and Alexander the Great. And I know the caller had mentioned Alexander. So, you know, there are multiple people who are claiming to be these famous personalities. Now, they could have lived during that time period and related to them because they saw them or read about them. But actual life experiences, to get into that life truly through a regression process would reveal something perhaps different than what they imagine it to be.
Some believe that Napoleon and Hitler were the Antichrist, and that there's a third one eventually that's going to happen sooner than later. Can someone truly be that evil and reincarnate and become that evil again?
I doubt that they would do it twice because the karmic consequences...
They didn't learn anything.
Right, exactly. The karmic consequences would be enormous, and why would you put your soul through that? It would take many lifetimes to really work through all of the damage that soul caused, but also, you know, you look on the other side and there's positives to it as well, because there are people who have learned lessons just by being a part of that incarnation. So, you know, it's possible, but I would think it would be highly improbable.
East of the Rockies, we're going to St. Louis, our neck of the woods. George is with us. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Hi. If all the souls that were created at the same time everything began, how did we go from just millions of people to billions of people? Also, if we choose our parents, why in the world would anybody choose a mother who's going to abandon him?
The question about the number of souls, you have to remember that we don't all incarnate at the same time. And so, you know, that would fluctuate in terms of numbers of physical bodies on the planet at any given time. And as I mentioned earlier, there are souls that have traveled to other dimensions, other planets, and, you know, more and more of them may be coming through on the Earth now because there are more physical bodies to inhabit. I don't have a number on the number of souls initially that were created, but and I don't know that that's something we'll ever know.
And how about, you know,
about the parents?
Pick your parent then, and
because that's the exact issue that you wanted to work on. You know, you may have abandoned somebody in a previous lifetime yourself, and so to balance that out and pay for it, now you're going to experience what it feels like to be abandoned. So you'll pick a parent who will provide that opportunity for growth for you by doing exactly that. It's a very logical choice. It may not seem that way when you're in the physical body and you're going through all of that trauma, But in spirit, it makes perfect sense that you would choose that mother.
Why do some religions believe in reincarnation and others are so opposed to it?
Well, I think it goes back to the idea that, you know, with reincarnation, you have multiple opportunities for growth. You don't just have this one chance. You know, if you believe that you only have one life and anything goes wrong, if you don't follow the precepts of your particular church, it's a power issue. It's a control issue. You know, do as we say or else you're going to have eternal damnation. So if you believe that, well, no, that's not exactly how it works. That's not the way a loving, a just God works. You know, I used to, growing up Catholic, and I used to worry that, God forbid, I went home on a Friday and I had a ham sandwich and went back to school and got hit by a car and I would die. I would go immediately to hell. And that was it. So that made no sense to me either. So I think that's really what it's about. It's about a whole issue of control.
Well, maybe so. You may be right about that. Let's go back to the phones with Joanne DiMaggio. Let's go to Chippewa Lake, Ohio. Jeff's with us. Jeff, go ahead and welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to say thanks for the show tonight. I share a lot of the same beliefs about souls coming back.
Okay, hold on for a sec, Jeff. We got a lot of clicks coming from you. Let's see if we can fix it and go back to you again.
To a question.
Not any good. Tommy, work on that with Jeff. Maybe we can get him back on at the half. Let's go to John in Cleveland. Welcome to the program. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hi, folks. Joanne, I was so thrilled to listen to you tonight because I got this inner knowing that I only have had just a few times in my life that, you know, you've answered so many of the questions and spoken to us in a way that I would if I were in your shoes. So I feel a very direct closeness with you. My question is, being raised Catholic and then, you know, learning that reincarnation is real and realizing it all, how does that change your views on things like miscarriages and abortion?
That's a very good question. And I have always believed, and evidence in my research, in the readings that I have done, is that a soul chooses to come into existence, to come into a body immediately before or after birth. And that souls come in and out of bodies while during the pregnancy, just kind of feeling it out, like, is this going to be a good life for me? Is this going to do all the things that I need to do? They may decide, no, this isn't going to work out for me, and there could be a miscarriage because of that. And as far as abortion is concerned, those souls are still hovering around those parents. They wanted to come in through those particular parents. That soul will continue to hover over them and come in at another time. So, you know, it really just depends on your belief system about when does the soul enter the body. You know, souls don't die. That's my take on it.
That's the key point. We're going to come back with final phone calls in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Joanne DiMaggio with us. Joanne, lessons learned with you and those that work, your volunteers. What did you learn out of all of this?
Well, I think that the biggest lesson that we learned was that we're not alone. And with the soul rounding, they learned that they always have guidance available whenever they need it. So the whole continuity of life, it was a lesson learned. They gained a better understanding of their own connection to the universe and to every other soul, and just a better understanding of how this all works as they pass through time, you know, why they meet certain individuals, have so many life experiences, and that they all do eventually work out, and that they're all so much more than perhaps they ever dreamed of being.
Sure do. And by the way, I want to thank you for going the extra hour with us after Shirley MacLaine had that coughing spell. My gosh.
I know. I heard that. That was really awful.
Oh my gosh, live radio. But I'm glad she's doing much better.
Me too.
Your Soul Remembers. Where can people get your book?
Yeah, they could get it on Amazon.com and hopefully in their favorite bookstores.
Well, good for you. And this is your second one now, right?
It is, right.
What are you working on next?
Well, I've been, I actually have another 25 of these, because I did a total of 50 regressions, and this book contains 25. So I have more of those. And I'm going to design a research project around soulmates. I haven't started that yet, but that's sort of on the back burner. And then also I wanted to do a book about the most common questions that people ask about past life work or about reincarnation, and bring in some of the thoughts of the leading therapists and authors in the field. And answer those questions for people.
Well, and I've got to tell you, on Soulmates, that's going to be a winner, because I am convinced that in other lives, past lives, future lives, people are connected.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, to understand that Soulmates could be not necessarily always a romantic interest, but your Soulmates can be your parents, your siblings, your friends, your colleagues at work, and then also to go into twin flames or twin souls, and I've had several people who came forward in my last research project that had experiences with a soulmate that they knew in a previous life who was with them again in this life, and that love that's there is almost indescribable. When you meet somebody, and I've had that opportunity of meeting someone that I really deeply cared about in a previous lifetime, and you just can't put into words what that feels like.
Some people who believe that they are with their soulmate then end up breaking up, getting a divorce, mm-hmm. and they're crushed, and they don't understand, how could this happen to my soulmate?
Right.
Were they soulmates, or what happened?
Well, you know, I like the expression, are they a soulmate, are they a cellmate? those souls love each other on such a deep, deep level that they may have agreed, I will come in and, everything at first might seem all hunky-dory, and then after a while, we're going to start to get into the nitty-gritty of some of the issues that you need to work on. Maybe it's trust, maybe it's jealousy, it could be any number of things. And so, they actually come in and assist the other person. And it's very painful to go through. I'm not negating that in any way, shape, or form, but there is a higher purpose to it. It doesn't negate the fact that they are soulmates and that they are probably going to be together in a subsequent lifetime. But this was the agreement that their souls made prior to coming into this life, and they're fulfilling that promise to each other.
Let's go to Sean in Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you, Sean, for holding, and you're on.
Thank you, George, Joanne. How are y'all doing this evening?
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Quick question, and you'll see why I asked this. Is a soul gender biased? I notice when anybody asks or says that they were somebody from the past, if it was a man, it was always a man. Do you pick and choose, or even do you go back as a human? Does animals have souls? Do you go back as an animal if you choose to be, for whatever purpose you might need to be? And if that's the case, is this really reality? Is this just like one big movie and we get to pick for whatever purpose we need to be, the leading man, the leading woman, or lassie, and it never really gets to the credits until you get the ending right?
That's a great question. As far as sex is concerned, I do believe that you do have a gender bias and that you come back predominantly male or female. Interestingly enough, when I did my regression project, I had 50 people, 43 were women and 7 were men. The women had no problem going back to a past life in which they were male, but the men had a problem big time if they saw themselves as female. There was massive resistance on their part. I do not want to be a woman. I do not want to see this. So I found that really interesting. But I do think that the essence of your soul, you know, I know that we're neither male or female, but it seems like when we come in, we have a preference for one over the other. As far as animals are concerned, animals have a group soul that they belong to, and I do not believe, and none of the research that I've done or any of the people that I have worked with, in which you would jump from being in a human body into an animal body or vice versa. I know there are some people who believe that, but I personally don't.
Let's go to Citrus Heights, California. Hello, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Wow, this is kind of interesting. First-time caller here. My question concerns about, I've had a lot of family and friends who passed away over the years, and I mean, I have come to terms to it, but I remember I had a friend who passed away from a genetic disorder, and it took me, you know, I've had deaths in the past, but it took me really hard to get through it, and you know, I remember that night I begged so much. I go, why would you let someone go through this? And I had this strange dream. I mean, it felt so real. I mean, I could smell everything. I could feel everything. It felt like I was on not even on the same planet. I couldn't even put my finger on it, but there was this family, the whole place that they were at was being like suffocated by smoke or ash. I couldn't really tell what was going on, but they were kind of sending a message out. I don't know what it really was, but they were talking about like the life they had, the connection they had with each other. They mentioned, you know, that they said, you know, in all our searching, like a kid, that there was a kid in it especially who was talking. And he says, you know, in all our searching, we find ourselves in each other. I have it written down here because it was so intense. And I think the specific message is that, you know, they mentioned as long as we're listening, you know, the people that disappear, you know, as our culture disappears from this planet, you know, you're listening and we'll live through you. And I just wanted to know if that was like a glimpse of a past life, maybe to kind of help me cope with what's going on in the present one, or if that's something different entirely, or I don't know, because I've been trying to make sense of it for God years now, and nobody's, you know, I couldn't really find a straight answer.
Well, I think that there's a very strong possibility that you were part of that family that was talking to you, the one that you said was suffocated, and that they were sending the message through you. Many times, souls come in, as I said before, to offer us lessons and opportunities for growth. So you came in knowing you were going to experience this kind of loss. It would be interesting to find out what set this up, why you chose that, and why these souls came in with you, you know, and they were the ones who were leaving you. They had their own issues, their own karma that they were working out, but it had as much to do with you as it did with them in terms of what you were learning by going through this experience. And so I think it definitely would be worth pursuing, because it sounds very strongly like it does have a soul family kind of karmic connection going on there.
Have you ever had a situation, Joanne, where the past life was so upsetting to the person that it was destroying their current life?
I just had that recently, as a matter of fact. And this the woman, she had a sense about this lifetime and had some fear attached to it. And when we went there, she was only into that life just a few minutes, and all of a sudden she jumped out of that life into another one that was so much more pleasant. And I said, no, we've got to go back. There's a reason that your soul is showing you this one. We really need to deal with it. So it was difficult for her to get through. But once she did, she made the connection of behavior patterns that had been that she was repeating in this lifetime. And was able to, you know, to see those clearly, see the origin of these problems, and then work toward resolution.
We go next to Fran in Alaska on the Skype line. Hey, Fran, go ahead.
Hi. I've got a really strange experience, and I've never heard of anybody else who did this. I have a vivid memory of picking what I was going to do in this life, and my advisor, guide, whatever, saying that, well, you know, that's an awful lot of stuff to do in one life. And the reason I wanted to do it was so I could be with my soulmate doing something else somewhere else. And I was given the memory of that to remember that I had picked to go through all this in one life.
Right.
Have you ever heard of that happening before?
Oh, absolutely. That happens all the time. We come in with certain abilities and talents, and I know I happened to see in a meditation my life between life session, and I remember saying, I'm not doing that. I'm not going down there and doing that. And really being encouraged by the souls around me, yeah, you can do it. We'll be there with you. We'll be there to help you and support you. So I sort of came in kicking and screaming like I didn't really want to do that, and I'm ending up doing it anyway. But yes, absolutely, you do select every aspect of your being, setting that lifetime up for yourself. So that's not unusual at all.
Let's go to Jeff now in Chippewa Lake, Ohio. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, sorry about the clicking earlier.
That's okay.
I just wanted to say that I share very similar beliefs as your guest tonight. And I had two quick questions. First question is you always hear about people saying, oh, I was Alexander the Great, and more than one or two people saying that they were the same person in a previous life. And I was wondering how that could be. Also, my second question being deja vu. I always felt that maybe possibly that was an experience that we had experienced in a previous life, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, as far as the multiples, as I mentioned earlier, there could be many reasons for that, one of which is that somebody famous was seen by many people during their lifetime. So I tell people, for instance, they say they were Napoleon, and I'll say to them, well, are you seeing your life through your eyes? Are you on the horse looking out at the crowd, or are you in the crowd looking at Napoleon and just identifying with him? So many times it's just simply people from the past that we identify with that we may have seen in that lifetime or knew from that lifetime, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we were them. There's also the theory about strands of souls, that a soul has multiple strands and that, several people could pick up on those strands. So there's a lot of theories about that. It's difficult to ascertain, well, who really is that person? But yes, that's my explanation of it. As far as deja vu is concerned, that's really one of the keys in determining if you resonate to something. When you feel like you've been someplace before, when you meet somebody, you feel like you've known them before, or maybe you have an experience that seems oddly familiar, but you cannot place it at all in this lifetime. Those are some of the built-in mechanisms that we have to enable us to identify a previous existence or a place that we may have lived in before. I had that when I came to Virginia. I was born and raised in Chicago and never felt like that was home. And the moment I came to Virginia, it was like my soul just had this collective sigh of relief. Oh, you're finally home.
Yeah.
I was experiencing all those deja vu moments.
Let's go to Betty in Pittsburgh. Squeeze one or two more in here. Go ahead, Betty.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
My question is, okay, I had an average family, I had friends and stuff like that, but it just seems the older I get that it's like I'm tired of my family, I'm tired of my friends, and really when you think about reincarnation, I would not want to come back. I just want to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are there people out there like that? And, I mean, I don't know.
You don't want to come back?
Yeah, and I don't see God as being loving, especially with everything that's going on. I mean, it just, and I know all the things people say about that, that you're experiencing things and that, but it's just like I'm tired of everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, it can become very weary related to deal with some of these issues over and over again. They really do test your soul. And a lot of people go through the dark night of the soul because of it, and you just simply get tired and want to throw in the towel. You know, as far as your distance from your family, you know, that could very well be karmic in nature as well, what you're going through. And as to whether you'll come back or not, that'll be decided when you do pass over and you examine it. You may feel completely different once you're on the other side than how you feel now. But I do believe in a just and loving God, and I don't know that God is actually responsible for all the things that we tend to blame him or her for everything that happens to us, but we have free will and choice, and a lot of this is on us.
I think more than a lot of it is on us, Joanne. Yeah. You know that?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, I want to thank you for being on the program. If you would you spell out real quickly your website?
Sure. It's my name, JoanneDimaggio, JoanneDimaggio.com.
And we're talking about her book, Your Soul Remembers. Joanne, thanks again for spending the extra time with us. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, George. Thank you.
All right. So make sure you're part of our Coast to Coast shows all week long. You'll enjoy them all. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.